Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Match Ball.
Hello, welcome to The Match Ball, brought to you by Levi Solicitors. There's a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan here, along with Michael Normanton and Rob Conlon, post-Leicester. I mean, where do we start with that, apart from deferring to what the crowd were singing? Which was not very favourable at the end,
was
it?
Which bit? Where the fuck is Jesse Marshall? What the fuck is going on?
Chance for Marcelo Bielsa as well.
Yeah. If you were tuning in looking for Moscow to give you some positivity, I'm afraid it's Robert, and I can tell you, he's miserable.
To be fair, though, I like the shared misery of podcasts. Jesse Marsh was chatting yesterday about the shared misery of being a football manager, and that's how I feel right now.
There was nothing good about that, was there?
No.
Okay, just to confirm.
No. We started relatively brightly for a few minutes, but...
For like 5-10... Well, opening, I made some notes. First 5 minutes, thought we were good. Then nothing happened. Then we were all right for another 5 minutes. Then, shit, cock scored. We didn't threaten.
I can't remember the last time I've seen a football team have to do so little to win a game. I think they had one shot on target and they've won 2-0. And we've ended up with a higher XG than them, which is sort of just a bit of a fluke in that it was kind of an accumulation of shots from the edge of the box that have gone wide or over and sort of counted as 0.05. We've had enough of them to end the game with a higher XG, but then we give away incredibly soft goals or score them ourselves and we don't score any in the other end, which isn't a good mix.
I think the thing with the tactics that I sometimes see with it is that I can sometimes see the pressing sort of works and it causes teams problems, but when you can't score... And when they attack, you can't defend. It doesn't really matter a great deal the amount of pressure you're putting on them because it all just comes to nothing.
And they bypass the press. It looks great when it works, but they bypass the press very, very easily just by finding a space then kicking it behind us.
That's what I mean. If you can't defend the outcome of a press, I mean, in fairness, tonight, I mean, bloody hell, the first goal was... he could just not do that. Good cock. If he just hits it, if he goes with his left foot and tries to not put it towards the goal, that would be an option. I know he's been good this season in general, but the defence as a whole was awful. Llorente is still crap. Firpo's still crap. None of these things are new.
No. I mean, the notes that I've made, just broad brush sort of discussions. Team selection, why change the side beyond Strouk at left back after the performance against Arsenal? Got to remember the days when we lost gloriously against Arsenal. Remember those days?
It's changed quite quickly, hasn't it?
Yeah. Tactics, did it leave us wide open again? We're just so easy to play through. And then I've just jotted down the chance and that's it. I don't really know what else to add beyond that. It's just not good, is it? The squad's weak as well and it gets exposed most weeks.
What did you not, what bit of the performance from our two international number nines did you not enjoy?
The bit where how many shots on target did we get? We got one at the end, which was greeted with immense sarcasm, right itself from the away end. I genuinely don't know what to say.
Rodrigo came on and did his best to give a goal away again, didn't he? Drop deep in that way he likes to do, firing off the passes.
That shot of him shaking his head and then it cutting to Jesse Marsh also shaking his head sort of sums it all up, probably. Mm. But I don't know. I find it really weird how we make it look really hard to find space when we're on the ball and yet we make it look really easy for the opposition to have space on the ball, which is usually just a ball down behind the fullback, which seems very, very simple to do. I mean, that second goal, when you see the ball go in between the channel of between Diego Llorente and Junior Firpo, you're sort of asking for it, aren't you?
I mean, that side, bloody hell.
I think it was Phil Hayes' tweet during the game of Leicester are clearly targeting the left-hand side, and you would.
Yep.
Which is fair enough.
Yep. Neither Firpo's a dreadful footballer, isn't he? And I know we're willing him to come good, and he is our only left-back. There was a bit today, we were attacking, I think it was, might have been a corner or a cross, I think it had been a corner, and the ball was breaking out to the edge of the box in the air, and clearly it was Firpo should have been going for it. And it was like he'd not realised it was meant to be his ball, and he would obviously be the player like challenging for it. And then I think he looked
surprised by being a footballer.
By the time he did realise, he just chased after someone and fouled him, and you just think, fucking hell, he's so stupid. Like he seems surprised to be on the pitch.
Yeah, and we've likened him before to a dog chasing a balloon, haven't we? Like, humorously. I can't pull anything funny out of this today. It's just shit, isn't it? It's just complete and utter shit. Yeah.
It has, for long time listeners, it has a Hereford away feel to it, where you watch it and you go, fuck off, stupid. Get rid of all of them. Change everything.
I don't get the subs either. They just look like they were all pulled out of a hat.
Yeah, he seems to be changing positions, changing formations with every change. It felt like, particularly when he brought Sinisterra off with 15 minutes still to go, it just felt like he was going, let's not bother here, we'll look ahead to Sunday and put it all on Fulham. And it's like we've been treating this upcoming Fulham game as like, all right, that's almost a guaranteed 3 points, or it's the game we've got to win, that's our best chance for a win. They're in the top half. I mean, we've just played the team at the second bottom in the table.
We've played all the teams at the bottom now, haven't we, as well? If you look at the start we've had to the season, I know the game against Forest was postponed, but other than that, we've played all the bottom teams and we are where we are. We've not had a tough start to the season.
Why did he?
I was going to say on the changes at half time as well. In the first half, Aronson was our best player and most threatening, and then in the second half, he's playing, collecting balls off the back four.
Yeah, because we went to that diamond.
You're taking your most threatening player out of the position he's most threatening in.
But it's the same argument for why make the changes in the first place after Arsenal. Surely you try and carry the momentum through from Sunday as much as you can into tonight's game. And then if you need to rest players or cycle, build up the confidence first. Because numerous people texted me before that game and said, God, he's left himself wide open here for it's a stick to beat him with, isn't it? If the changes don't work, it looks ridiculous. And it's been proved.
Yeah, from the start, he was sort of putting pressure on Sunday. It felt like, I mean, some of the changes I don't actually mind. Some of them coming in for a start, I don't mind. Llorente for Cooper, I found quite strange. Bamford was always going to start after the weekend, which was fair enough.
Richard in the comments is asking, are we on the blastaways here, Michael, you and I? It's not, it's actually just Aldi's knockoff Fanta, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean the quality of that game in the second half, we were discussing drinking 2 litres and then being sick into a pint glass, so that shows somewhat how hooked we were by the game, and it would have been it could have been like a bit of performance art to represent the game.
We'll save that for the extra ball.
Daniel's in the comments saying, I'm so angry I can't even talk. I'm not angry, I'm just kind of despondent because there's so little fun in the Premier League. We had fun the first season we came back up, and then that started to go wrong, so the change
happened. Fulham look like they're having fun tonight.
Yeah, but they look like we looked like when we came up the first season. But when you get settled into the actual grind of it, it's just shit.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to
be like this.
That's what I'm saying, but it's become that, hasn't it?
That football was fucking dire tonight.
I mean, let's talk about Peter's ball. We have to, we can't avoid it. Because the tactical shape, as I mentioned before, they were just dropping balls in behind us. And that's all you seem to have to do in order to cause us problems. It's really basic stuff.
Some of the time when we're trying to play through midfield as well, it looks so impossibly dense and complicated to navigate a path through. You think, well, this is only going to work, surely, like one in 10 times at best. Because you're asking for about 5 passes to occur within about a 20-metre space, which is occupied by about 10 players.
Yeah, it feels like the chances literally come by chance. It's that thing of, I don't think it's as cynical or as dour, but it's that kind of Mourinho principle of, if the other team have the ball, that's when they're going to make a mistake. It's for like, all our attacking plan is geared towards, well, if they've got the ball, we can tackle them and maybe something will happen. But actually moving the ball through midfield, I don't see a plan or an idea. And it's still just so bloody obvious of like, can we not spread out and create space for each other.
Try and use the open grass.
Yeah, there's it was interesting the other week. I've not actually watched the Academy Dreams documentary, but a clip did surface on Reddit of Sean McGurk playing for the 23s last season after a defeat, and he's coming into the change room bollocking his teammates going, look, the space is out wide. We're the ones on the pitch. Just pass the ball out wide and we'll go out wide, and that, you know, that will help us. But, I don't know. yeah, the Red Bull football really isn't for me, I don't think.
I mean, you know, Arsenal, the game against Arsenal, it worked really, really well for a whole half, didn't it? I mean, we ran that game in the second half. But you've got to take it over the sample of last season. All right, maybe some mitigation there with how things have got.
What is it? Is this 22 games, 23 games, something like that he's had now?
22, I think, yeah, plus any cup games. Yeah, and then what we've seen this season. What have we seen this season so far? There's not a lot, is it?
No.
Where it's really clicked or
it
worked.
It feels like a very, very long time since we've won. Like, well, it is. It's was it Chelsea still the last win? I can't believe it.
Yeah,
remember.
Yeah.
My God.
If you exclude Papa John's, yes.
I count the Papa John's. I cherish that trophy.
It's it's interesting to it'll be interesting to see the reaction in the press conferences tonight, because people in the comments on YouTube, this is being streamed live on YouTube. Thanks for coming along. If you are watching this live or listening to it live, that Marsh sounds unhappy with the fans in the post-match.
Marsh is unhappy with the fans?
Fucking hell.
Okay, Jesse.
I don't know if those are his exact words, but that seems to be the impression that's been given out.
That's an interesting stance.
I was just about to say, that's an interesting hill to die on.
Because he disappeared down the tunnel, as it's been reported, very quickly at the end when the Leeds fans were singing, "Where the fuck is Jesse Marsh?" afterwards. But yeah, he's got a sucking a lemon face on. The club have just tweeted out the first bit of post-match that I can see. So it'll be interesting to see the comments filtering through when the journalists start reporting them on Twitter. But yeah, I don't really get what the plan is either, Rob. I don't. It seems to work so seldom.
Mm.
Do you remember a couple of weeks ago I said Jesse Marsh could be sacked after Fulham?
Mm.
He could be sacked after this, quite possibly. I think he probably will be given until Fulham. But
it's going to be such an awful Elland Road atmosphere. I mean, the crowd will get behind the team and, you know, people will be singing and they'll be trying to be positive at the start, but it's really not going to take much at the weekend for it to turn, I don't think.
The away games are always the best place to kind of start to judge these things.
It's a good bellwether, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it really is. It's where players start to become hated. It's where good chants start. It's where cult heroes are formed and the crowd turning on Marsh, because I don't think it happened last year, did it?
What, Matt, we're turning on Marsh?
People were frustrated.
There was Brighton, wasn't there? At the very last home game of the season, when it looked like we were about to lose, and that's when we had the Bielsa chance. There was maybe a bit of that awful Villa game. But it feels like we've never been that far away from it either. That's the problem. It feels like we're always close to wanting to sing for Bielsa or just wanting to sing what the fuck is going on.
I think we want, do you know what I think we want? We're looking for something to believe in, is probably what's underneath all of that.
Maybe it was always going to be like this. After you get out of a long relationship, the next one's always
a rebound.
It's always a fucking rebound thing that, you know, it ticks along for a few months. You think, I don't know, I'm not feeling this really. let's wait for something better. And that is how it's felt with Marsh. Although, of course, if we do sack him, we then get Victor Orta appointing the next boss.
Yeah, which, again, this goes back to Orta's role in this, doesn't it? And that's what when I've scribbled down squad weaknesses, I mean, like, we're still, you know, the issue about the forwards, for example, we're still relying on the same centre forward we had to rely on to get us out of the championship in the form of Bamford, who's been out for a year, who, you know, has tried his absolute level best. And this is not a criticism of him, but the fact that we've not built on it, the fact that we got Rodrigo in, who you thought was going to be the building on it, that's not worked. Yeah. So we're now thinking, well, what is the solution?
And it is not going to work. That's the real frustration.
It's quite obvious, isn't it? Like when he picked up that ball tonight and he just swung that kind of cross-come shot thing past the...
It was definitely a shot.
Well, whatever it was.
He just it was probably nearer to someone else than the goal. But yeah, it was definitely a shot, was that. It was just a very, very bad one.
I was saying to you, Michael, earlier that Jesse Marsh in his presser yesterday, when he was chatting about Junior Firpo and bigging him up and talking about wanting to make him into this two-way fullback who can attack and defend. And he mentioned in that
if you could do either of those things, I'd be so pleased.
He mentioned in his presser, though, that there aren't many of those left-backs around the world. And that made me think, oh, well, maybe that's why they've not tried to sign one, because they don't think one exists. And part of me, they're obviously very, very specific about who they go for in the transfer market. And part of me admires that, but I just don't understand how you can be so specific.
I think they're overly specific.
But I don't know how you can be that specific and end up with Firpo and Rodrigo, who don't, where do they fit in this?
You're saying if Firpo's the best we can do, he's not even the best left back at the club, and he's the only left back at the club. I would genuinely rather see, well, obviously the big sexy pirate, but I would rather just with Chuck Yeldrin with his bloody burst appendix. give him a go there. He's always shit. It's so annoying. And I want him to be good, but how many times do we have to see him play?
Like, and this is why
get someone else.
Several weeks ago on the show, I mentioned Kinnear's comments saying we can't afford for transfers not to work at this level. So what I was saying at that point, the point I was making is they have to stick with, or they feel obliged to stick with these players come hell or high water, because we don't have another 27 million quid lying down the back of the sofa to get another player in. Even though they've spoken, you know, about forwards and stuff like that, it's still not materialised, has it? And the left back still hasn't materialised.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Niall, by the way, in the comments, is just saying, when asked about the fans, he said they can have their feelings about whatever, but I'm here.
Oh, that's standoff with stepdad in the kitchen. Your mother loves me. And you're going to have to get used to me being around.
I mean, we're kind of skirting around the issue here of would you sack him?
The problem is with Marsh, I felt this at the end of last season after the Palace game. I just thought if he was sacked now, I wouldn't really care. I think it was probably fine to sack him then, because it was shit. And I thought, well, I didn't see where it was going. And we've seen small glimpses of maybe where it's going this season. But over the full time here, it's never clicked. It's never worked.
Yeah, it was during Palace or after Palace this season that I said to you, I'm not calling for him to be sacked, but if it did happen, I would just not feel anything, really. And now, only after we're only getting closer to me going, no, actually, yeah. Go on. It's not a thing, but... it's very strange. I think that was the weird thing coming out of Arsenal on Sunday. It was like, I know there were some positives there, but we can only really know how to judge them after Leicester, probably after Fulham. And I think a lot of people were going to the Arsenal game going, by the end of the week, he could be out of a job, but after Fulham. And it certainly feels that way now.
I mean, with Heckingbottom, it was a bit similar because he didn't have very long in the job. But equally, when he was sacked, you went, oh, probably good, fine. Really not. I wasn't bothered at all. I didn't feel for him personally. I didn't think it was a bad choice football-wise. I just thought, yeah, fine, try something else. What I've seen of it has been shit. So I'm perfectly happy to throw it out. I don't feel like we're throwing away a something beautiful that is only half built. I feel like it's going to work now and then, is this style.
It feels like somebody's brought a load of building supplies in and just dumped them on the drive. And we're just waiting to see what happens next.
I feel like Ross McCormack's done some fly tipping as opposed to even a proper delivery.
Just some more expanded comments here that have been reported now from the press. I think there's parts of the first half that were actually quite good. We lose the ball and they get a weird own goal and then we push the game. At 1-0, we have chances to go 1-1.
Did we? What chances? Sinisterra hitting the bar?
Yeah, sorry, the comments just jumped up actually, which has distracted me. The next tweet's coming. But when we give up the goal, it's a big hole we've dug, is saying.
Sinisterra hit the bar and Somerville had that chance that he put wide when he was dribbling towards goal and there was a defender in front of him. But it's just so soft to score. Like, I don't know. It's not even... that first goal was obviously very self-inflicted, but then the rest of it's just crap, isn't it? Yeah. Like, it's just insipid.
And there were other times when they did tear us apart as well, when there were breaks when things went badly wrong and they maybe made a bad pass or someone... stood on the ball a bit or whatever, but there are other times when you thought, well, wide open it, and like you can see the pass that will put them in, and they sometimes didn't make it, but there were these massive holes in it. You can see the gap that they should put the ball through. And if you're playing, you know, Man City, they do put it through that gap. It's just that because Leicester are only Leicester, they only scored twice. Rubbish.
It felt like it disintegrated in that second half as well.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened at Palace.
Even though Leicester didn't have to do anything in that second half, but it was just, we were just making changes. Don't know what we were trying to do. We were trying to work out who's playing where. Mm. God, you know, I mean, you're always doing that with Rodrigo, but then, yeah, it felt, there were players arguing a bit towards the end and bickering with each other, and some of the changes really did feel like, right, let's move on then. I know there's still 15 minutes left and we could try, you know, a goal with 15 minutes to go or even with 10 minutes to go. It's only game on, isn't it? And they start panicking, but it was just like, yeah, we're probably going to lose, aren't we?
Not going over to the fans at the end, Marsh says, at that moment, I was disappointed. It's nothing against the fans. I want to say sorry to them. It had nothing to do with anything other than my focus being on Sunday.
Mm. Okay. Well, you came over to the fans to celebrate the defeat to Arsenal.
That was, again, another strange moment, isn't it, when you frame it against what's happened tonight? Like, because if you're not aware, you weren't in Elland Road, he was walking around pumping his chest again, wasn't he? And he did the kind of the two-handed fisting, if you like, where he was sort of celebrating, punching the air.
Yeah.
Fist in the air.
We just had the old Harvey Barnes two-handed fisting this evening, didn't we? Got his goal. I thought to begin with, Cock had stopped him getting his goal. I thought he was that determined to stop him scoring. He was like, no, I'll have it instead.
Robin Cock didn't deserve that. He's been good this season.
He has been good this season.
Are we in a relegation battle then?
Yeah.
Marsh says, it's too soon, but when you look at the table, we're slipping because we're not getting the results and it's painful.
He said it's painful. As in the style of play?
Being where we are, I think is what he's referring
to. Having to watch.
Support from the board. We're totally unified. That's not an issue.
Okay.
Kinnear's programme notes will have already gone to print, won't they? Thinking about it. Because it's Thursday now. So Sunday's programme notes will have already been written and signed off.
If Jesse doesn't think there are discussions going on in the background about replacing him, then he's an idiot.
Mm.
There must be. And if there aren't, then the board are idiots.
The performance wasn't terrible, he said.
It was. There was nothing good about it. The second half in particular was an absolute fucking shambles. It was positions and players drawn out of a hat. But it was like looking down the bench, oh, I'll put Click on for a bit. To do what? I don't know. Football. Just let him go out and do some stuff. Gelhardt, just go on. And am I playing up front or is Rodrigo up front? I don't know. Just go on.
What did you reckon to Somerville tonight? Stuff. A, putting him in, and B, his performance.
Certainly wasn't the worst player.
No, like I said, I didn't mind putting him in. I think I'm not going to pretend he's the answer or whatever, but he's been playing really well for the 21s for ages. And I think we kind of forget that this time last year, we were all absolutely clamouring to see him. And I don't mind him giving Jackie a rest. Yeah, he wasn't one of the worst players, no. Was he?
I think maybe he doesn't do as much defensively as Jackie does. Doesn't track back quite as much. Maybe that's unfair. I don't know. Or maybe he just doesn't know the system as well. Whereas, you know, Jackie's been in the team for,
I think,
4 or 5 years now, is it?
I think the problem these young players face, and it's kind of what we saw with Drama last year, is that if you come in, you sort of need to play well because there's more established players ahead of you that are just going to come back and take the place. That's where someone like Joffy was so good last year. Whenever he got a chance, he did something. Whereas Somerville, he's had a few chances in his last few games and he's skied a shot over the bar that he should have scored against Arsenal and missed a decent chance this evening. And he needs to, in these opportunities he's getting, he needs to make his mark, which he hasn't been able to do. But, you know, it's not been the worst appearance.
Yeah, I wonder what Gelhardt makes of it all, because he must be looking at the two clearly horrendously out of form strikers in front of him and thinking, right, am I not worth a go at some point? Because,
well, we've heard all about the pathway.
Well, the pathway. When does that pathway?
Somebody in the comments did say on YouTube said, do you think Jesse Marsh, it might have been on Twitter, is Jesse Marsh blocking the pathway for a younger manager? Which I thought was a good bit of mischief. Goodness.
Well, maybe Mark Jackson's on the pathway. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, if we did sack him, who gets the Fulham game? Do you have Maric? Is it Maric and Jackson?
He's a mere boy.
Get Jacko in and play the kids.
Yeah, it's an option.
Oh, God. Come on, what else have we got? Somerville.
Diego Llorente tried an overhead kick.
Yeah.
And that counted towards our XG, which was better than Leicester's.
I forgot.
So, you know, that's... I did enjoy it, to be fair.
Yeah, I did forget he did that.
There was a moment in the first half where you shouted, you mad character.
It was when, I remember that now, yeah, it was when he kicked the ball back towards our own goal, his own goal to, he was winning a free kick off their player, and it did work. But if their player moved out of the way, he'd have put it out for a corner. He's just, and there was a bit in the second half where he just dribbled around with it until eventually went out of play and it was a corner.
Yeah, that's when they started arguing a little bit, wasn't it?
But then he's doing that because there's no out ball for him because everyone's out of position and no one knows what they're doing. At the moment, he's probably looking up and seeing Rodrigo looming towards him and thinking, well, that's not an option.
Do we owe Willie Onto an apology? I mean, at a club level. Sorry for bringing you here. Sorry for not playing you.
For accidentally signing you and accidentally selling Dan James.
He had a nice go in the Papa John's against Tranmere.
Dear me. Yeah, what's the word? Universal support isn't about that Bielsa got backed to the hilt by the board at Leeds. He believes they'll continue to back him and show patience despite the way this season has gone and the reaction from the crowd.
I mean, Bielsa got universal support until they sacked him.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't know if Jesse remembers that bit.
And where we were in the league at the time as well.
Yeah. As well, Victor was chatting to Jesse for ages. If I was Jesse, I'd be having a look in Victor's call logs.
Yeah.
Having a little snoop in his WhatsApps. Be like, who's he talking to now? You were that guy once, Jesse. Now it's someone else. You're going to be moved aside again.
Well, great to get to talk about this game again in the morning on the Phil Hay Show. In a mere,
interesting to know what Phil thinks, because I saw no redeeming qualities in this.
It'd be interesting if Phil had ever allow me to broadcast the contents of what he might say on WhatsApp versus what he might say on the show. And that's me chucking him under the bus slightly.
Mm.
But he has just signed off with the see you in morning.
Mm. What was good about today?
He sent me a one word. This can be, you know, the clickbait sites.
Oh, yeah. So,
Phil Hayes' one word assessment of Leeds' performance. He put, well.
I think that's fine. I don't think he's thrown anyone under the bus.
See you in the morning.
No, I thought Aronson was quite good at points. He goes down lots, though, doesn't he?
Mm. Aronson.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's quite lightweight, isn't he? I think he's still.
He's a young boy.
Yeah, he's a mere slip of a lad, isn't he? Mm. He just gets bullied off the ball a lot. But then again, he did some good running and stuff when carrying the ball. Shearer was praising him on Amazon Prime.
Mm.
Wasn't he saying how floaty and glidey he was?
It's weird. We managed to really reinforce in the areas we needed last year, central midfield. Because I think Adams, Rocker and Aronson are all actually good acquisitions.
Did you like Rocker's contribution to the opening goal?
Yeah, not so much on that. But I think overall, I think that those three massively strengthened the centre of midfield from last year. But the bits that were good last year have gone. I don't understand. Like we had decent width at points and a vaguely attractive style of play, and that bit seems to have now gone. I almost feel like if we could go back to Bielsa in charge but allow him some more midfielders, it might be kind of half working at the moment.
We've had some updates here. Now Phil is tweeting actually still at this moment about the changes in the lineup. He's protecting Cooper in a three-game week. Thought Somerville could hurt Leicester. Quite happy with his display.
Mm. Fine.
So it was just the tactics then that were wrong, not the selection.
Yeah.
No. Richard's saying that Gerrard's been sacked. Let me just have a proper look at Twitter. I mean, that wouldn't come as a surprise, would it?
Well, the board were keen on him. Gerrard.
Yeah, Villa have just tweeted out that he's been sacked.
Oh.
He was this lady's not for turning earlier, wasn't he, as well? Was Gerrard saying he's...
Well, he said he wasn't a quitter.
He did go off. He went full trust, didn't he?
Yeah. And he hasn't quit.
He's right. he's hung in there for his payoff.
Yeah.
So good lad.
It's a great job, isn't it, being a football manager? I know we'll feel a bit sorry for... Well, actually, we'll feel sorry for Marsh when he's sacked, I'm not sure. We'll feel a bit sorry for him, but, you know, we'll get a load of money and go back to America, won't we?
Get the national team job, that'll be fine.
Well, they seem to quite like him over there, don't they? But I am not as sure.
Why are you looking forward to hearing from Phil anyway, what you're saying about that? Like,
just to see what he thought of it.
Because sensible.
Because my instant reaction after that is throw it all in the bin.
Yeah, well, that's how we tend to get. Yeah.
Like, at least half the players were shit. The tactics were awful. The changes were bad.
I think that's how quickly it's turned after Arsenal. Because I think it was after Arsenal you said, oh, I've come out of that and thought it doesn't all need throwing in the bin.
It turns out it does. That was the... but it shows that it was the exception, wasn't it, was Arsenal. Because everything before that, well, not everything. Everything after Chelsea can get in the bin. And then Arsenal, a slight opportunity. Back to square one.
Back to square one. There we go. That wraps it up, doesn't it, I think, for tonight.
I almost wonder if Arsenal are a team that play in their own style and we were able to affect that, whereas other teams look at our actual style and go, well, we might not normally do this, but just put a big ball over the back of the fullback every time and we'll score some goals. because that seems to be the easiest way to do
it. So easy as well when you're a team low on confidence and you think, oh, actually, we just got to do a really basic game plan. Mm. We don't have to do anything complicated here. We can just sit in deep and then kick it behind the fullback who's out of position.
Kick it, and also, I thought Leicester pressed our defence well as well because we looked completely unable to cope with that.
Oh, God bless Andy Mitchell in the comments here. Says, where's Forshaw? Do you want to tell him or shall I?
He was at Anfield, wasn't
he? Hanging out with Paddy the Baddy, isn't he?
Yeah, MMA fella.
Let's just wrap it up there. I've had enough for tonight, and this building alarm gets set in about half an hour, so we need to get out of
and
here.
And we're talking to Phil in like 10 hours, aren't we, about this very same game.
It's going to be great. Join us for that, and we'll be back doing more match ball action after the Fulham victory. That's a victory against Fulham on Sunday.
Did you see Fulham today? Watch the first half. They were good.
Oh, yeah, they just caused Steven Gerrard to be sacked, haven't they?
Oh, they can be... They can kill two managers in a week, can't they? That's if indeed Jesse survives, which I'm sure he will because he's tight with the board. None of them are replying to the group WhatsApps at the moment, but he knows they're all with him.
We shall see. Thanks for tuning into this one. No, it hasn't been easy. It isn't after these, is it? But we'll plough on regardless. We'll see in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.